Vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam's third canto, chapter 12, text 20. Maitreya Vacha.
Maitreya Vacha.
Devam.
Atma,
Vadishta, Parikramya,
Viram,
Patim, Padam,
Iti,
Mamun, Amantriya,
Vivesha,
Tapase,
Manam,
Maitreya Vacha.
Evam Atma Bhuvadishta.
Parikramya Giram Patim.
Adham Nityam Amantriya.
Vivesha Tapase Vanam.
Evam Atma Bhuvadishta.
Parikramya Giram Patim.
Adham Nityam Amantriya.
Vivesha Tapase Vanam.
Evam Atma Bhuvadishta.
Parikramya Giram Patim.
Adham Nityam Amantriya.
Vivesha Tapase Vanam.
Evam Atma Bhuvadishta.
Parikramya Giram Patim.
Adham Nityam Amantriya.
Vivesha Tapase Vanam.
Evam Atma Bhuvadishta.
Parikramya Giram Patim.
Adham Nityam Amantriya.
Vivesha Tapase Vanam.
Can't see from there. Maitreya Vacha.
Sri Maitreya said.
Evam.
Thus.
Atma Bhuva.
By Brahma.
Adishtaha.
Being so requested.
Parikramya.
By circumambulation.
Iram.
Of the Vedas.
Satim.
Unto the Master.
Batam.
That is right.
Iti.
Thus.
Amum.
Unto Brahma.
Amantriya.
Thus addressing.
Vivesha.
Enter.
Tapase.
For the matter of penance.
Vanam.
Into the forest.
Sri Maitreya said, thus Rudra, having been ordered by Brahma, circumambulated his father, the master of the Vedas, addressing him with words of assent, he entered the forest to perform penances.
Ata vidyayata sargam dasha putra prajagire bhagavachakti yuktasya lokasantana hetava.
Brahma, who was empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thought of generating living entities and begot 10 sons for the extension of the generation.
Marichir atri agi atriangi vasau kulashya kulaha kratuhu Ridur Vashishto Dakshascha Dashamastatranadaha
Marichi Atri Angira Kulasya Kulaha Pratu Ripu Vashishta Daksha and the tenth son, Narada, were thus born. Purport. The whole process of the creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the cosmic manifestation is meant to give the conditioned souls a chance to go back home, back to Godhead. Brahma created Rudra to help him in his creative endeavor. But from the very beginning, Rudra began to devour the whole creation, and thus he had to be stopped from such devastating activity. Brahma therefore created another set of good children, who were mostly in favor of worldly, fruitive activities. He knew very well, however, that without devotional service to the Lord, there is hardly any benefit for the conditioned souls. And therefore, he at last created his worthy son, Narada, who is the supreme spiritual master of all transcendentalists. Without devotional service to the Lord, one cannot make progress in any department of activity, although the path of devotional service is always independent of anything material. Only the transcendental loving service of the Lord can deliver the real goal of life, and thus the service rendered by Srimad Narayana is the highest among all the sons of Brahma.
Chaitanya-mano-vishtam sthapitam yena bhutale sarva-rupa-padamayam tathati sarva-padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sarvajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Stam Satyam Sādvaitam, Sāvadrūpam, Vrishatā Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padam, Svagata Dadita, Sri Vishakhan Vitamsha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho, Dina Bhattho Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Rādhākanta namosite Tapta kāṁśana bhūrāṁi Rādhe vrindāve nishī Vrishabhāṁ tuṣṭe devī Pranamāṁ vrīvihe Āchākau kardurhyascha Kupāśasibhau kirevacha Patitānāṁ pāvanebhyo Vaiṣṇavebhyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasi Gaurava Parinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Fortunately for the progress of Brahma's
mission,
Rudra was obedient to his order and agreed to enter the forest and stop creating destructive living entities. So that worked out. It's helpful when there's hierarchical obedience. It makes things practical to
makes things orderly. And there's no hierarchy, then you get disorder. Anarchy doesn't work very well. Only in some specific instance for some higher cause, the Kumaras neglected or disobeyed, defied the word of their father. For the higher purpose of service to the Lord, one can put aside everything. But here we see that Rudra followed. So that was auspicious.
Then, next thing is that Brahma
created a new set of sons from his mind. This is how powerful Lord Brahma is. Without any other method required, he was able to beget sons simply by thinking about it. What power he has, and what power of concentration, and also what purity of thought, so that when he thought about getting sons,
the sons were Marichi, Atreides, Angira, Vashishta, all great sages. Actually, from one point of view, all the sons reflect the mentality of the parents that we discussed the other day. Here it is purely mental. Just by thinking, Lord Brahma was able to beget sons. Great power.
Bhagavat Shakti
Yuktasya.
By power of Krishna. Because he was hooked up with Krishna.
Yuktasya.
He got the power of Krishna. Bhagavat Shakti Yuktasya. Of course, everyone's power is coming from Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj told that to his father. The father asked, by whose power have you become so bold that you can speak to me like this? And Prahlad answered that from the same place where you're getting your power, I'm getting my power. So everyone, even the demons, is getting power from Krishna. But the power of the demons is destructive and law. And the power of Brahma and the devotees is the power for upliftment. Lokanam utakaya. The devotees of the Lord are concerned with the welfare of everyone. Lokanam utakaya. And the demons, Prabhavanti Ugra Karmana, Shayaya Jagato Vita. They're simply concerned with their own sense gratification. And so they do things that are destructive and against the interests of everyone, even their own interests. So a pure-hearted servant of the Lord, like Brahma, was able to beget such sons for the welfare of the world and to carry out the work entrusted to him of populating the universe, except for Narad Muni. Narad Muni has no business in increasing the population. That's done by the other sons. They all marry and beget good children. Narada Muni doesn't beget any sons. But he increases the population of devotees. That's his work. From that point of view, he has so many descendants by disciplic succession. Vyasadeva is his disciple, Prahlad is his disciple, Guru Maharaj is his disciple. from the tradition. So many are disciples of Narada Muni. So in this way, he increases the population of devotees. He turns the living entities, the human beings especially, but even Narada Muni even had a snake who became a disciple. So Narada turns the living beings toward the devotional service of Krishna. The other sages are more involved in pravritti marg. There are two things, pravritti marg and nivritti marg. These are two paths of Vedic life. The pravritti marg is the path of regulated sense gratification. And the nivritti marg is the path of renunciation, the path of going back to God. Pravritti marg, the purpose is also to go back to Godhead, but it's for those who are very much attached and more interested in making material progress. The pravritti marg is so arranged so that one is encouraged to perform pious activities so that one may be gradually elevated and not degraded. But the pravritti marg is not very clear and focused. Marg means path. It's not a direct path back to Godhead. And it tends to be, in fact, circular. That's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, that by worshipping the demigods, performing pious activities, one is elevated to the heavenly planets, then falls down again, but vitagatam kama 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 lakute. Yes. Going up, coming down, going up, coming down. Basically remaining entrapped in material life because of interest in sense gratification. But Narada Muni has no connection with this pravritti marg, or the path of material enjoyment. He instructed Vyasadeva, "You've written so many books, but mostly they create confusion. They just agitate the mind the way the wind agitates a boat on the water. People start thinking about higher planets. People start thinking about mystic powers. People start thinking about all sorts of material progress, mental speculation. And they miss the point, which is to get out of this material world and go back home, back to God." So he says, "You've essentially misled these people because you haven't focused on the glories of Krishna. You've simply encouraged, you've compromised. Your purpose is to bring them to Krishna. But you've compromised so much that people are not going to get it. They're simply going to remain trapped in their petty materialistic aspirations. Even to go to the heavenly planets is a petty aspiration. So you've misled these people, and therefore even you yourself are dissatisfied. Even you yourself. And now you should write something directly glorifying the devotional service of the Lord." This was Narada's instruction to Vyasa. So this is Narada Muni's business, to present the science of devotional service, without which human life will not be auspicious, will not be purposeful, will not reach its real purpose. The real purpose of human life is to revive our relationship with Krishna, to act in that relationship and to develop love for Krishna. This is the business. And Narad Muni is engaged for that purpose, and we're trying to follow in the footsteps of Narad Muni. Any questions? Yeah, go ahead. Put your hand up.
Narad Muni was the son of Brahma, but he was also it's in his past life that he was this
maid servant's son?
Yeah.
Yes.
How does that work? Because Brahma was the first living being, so was it in a different universe that he was in son of?
That's explained that the Narad Muni was the son of a maidservant, and then he underwent some process for spiritual realization. He came in association with great devotees, and he became a self-realized soul. And then he died. And it's described that as thunder and lightning come together, as sometimes, like today, last night it does, he immediately left this world, and then he came out again with a spiritual body in the next creation, because he left, and the Kalpa, the day of Brahma, comes to an end, and all the living entities are preserved in the body of the Lord. Then the next day, out they come again. So in the next day he comes out in this part of the garden. Remember from yesterday what you need to do?
Yeah, that's that.
Okay. In this part of Bhagavatam is described, or Srila Prabhupada describes, that when Narada Muni attains spiritual body, he still enters the body of Garuda Kashaya Vishnu in the time when living entities go to sleep. So I was wondering, why does he do it? Is it his lila? Because he has already a spiritual body, he doesn't have to be conditioned in the same way as other living entities in the universe.
Take rest for a while. Go with the flow.
You mentioned that the Nivritti Marg is more important than the Pravritti Marg. Mm-hmm. Why is that Brahma gets nine songs on the Pravritti Marg and just one song?
If Nivritti Marg is more important, why did he create nine songs for Pravritti Marg? The Nivritti Marg is more important, but the majority of folks, as we say these days, the majority of people go for the Pravritti Marg. That's the predominant mood of this material world, is Pravritti Marg. So for their practically everyone, these are going to be the fathers, the Prajapatis, of so many living entities. And the living entities who come to the material world, they're all Pravritti Margis, practically speaking. So they're all Pravritti Margis. So these nine sages are going to begin the tradition of Pravritti Marg. But Narad is there to turn them, just like Daksha. So he's very much committed to Pravritti Marg. He's expert at Pravritti Marg. Daksha means expert. So he had lots and lots of sons. Lots and lots of sons means he was very sexually inclined. Pravritti Marg means generally sex attraction. So the Daksha had lots and lots of sons. I've even forgotten how many, but he generated some sons, so many thousands, Aryashvas they were called. And then he ordered them, now you do
tapasya, so that you'll become very qualified for getting qualified children. Then Narad Muni came along, and he saw that all these nice young boys are doing tapasya, but why should they waste their lives begetting children, just having sex, you know, to keep the family tradition going? They're doing nice tapasya, better that they should get free from material existence and go back home, back to Godhead. So he diverted them. They took a detour from the Prabhupada Mara by the grace of Narada. And Daksha was very angry. I had these nice sons and they were all lined up for getting married, and this Narada has somehow persuaded them to become brahmacharis. Anyway, he had some more sons, another 10,000 or so, Shabbat, they were called, and sent them for penances. They went to the same place for performing austerities. And then Narada got to know that this new batch is there doing tapasya. So again he came, and he suggested to them that your brothers have all taken to the Nirvritti Marg, and it's the suitable behavior for you to follow in the footsteps of your older brothers. So he explained to them in brief what materialistic life is actually all about, and persuaded them to reject it in favor of going back to Godhead. And then Daksha was really hot under the collar, as they said, really angry. He cursed Narada. It actually said that you're dishonest. I'm an honest householder. I'm performing my prescribed duties. I'm training these boys how to lead a step-by-step life, not to go too fast, to stay in the proper position so that step-by-step they can follow the path of dharma, artha, kama, and finally moksha. I'm giving them the right direction in life so that they can be respectable boys and live a family life and satisfy all their desires and then go back to Godhead. And you've ruined their lives. You've just persuaded them all to become brahmacharis, and who knows if they'll be able to stay brahmacharis. They haven't satisfied all their desires. So you've messed everything up. You're dressing like a sadhu, but you're not a sadhu. I'm a sadhu, because I'm performing my prescribed duties and you're just interfering. So he cursed Narada Muni that you can't stay anywhere. You won't be able to stay anywhere more than a few minutes in person. Oh, of course, that's good. Narada Muni travels everywhere and doesn't stay anywhere long enough to. He stays long enough to cause trouble and not long enough to get caught.
This is different from the Nirvritti and
Prabhupada. Or while I'm thinking about it, there's nine and there's one. The one outweighs all the other nine. It's not just numerical strength. All you need is one Narada Muni. Out to nine other things. Yes.
Different from the Nirvritti and Prabhupada that we're talking about, when you say like Nirvritti is following the principles, Prabhupada is chanting or something like that.
Nirvritti and Prabhupada.
That there are these two aspects of devotional life, abstaining from, you know, accepting.
Prabhupada, in the sense of Prabhupada accepting what's favorable and Nirvritti neglecting what's unfavorable. Yeah, it's different from that. These are two terms which can be used in many different contexts and different ways, Prabhupada and Nirvritti. But yes, that's it.
Are devotee grihasthas on the Prabhupada or on the Nirvritti?
Good question. You can ask them. They can ask themselves.
still done on this point, or?
No. Okay. Not directly.
But see, one has to ask oneself, am I on the poverty mark, or am I on the mark? Even the brahmacharis can ask themselves.
Exactly.
Yes.
Because it's just interesting, for us, once we paint like black and white, you know, the grihastha, ashram, you know, family and everything. Try to look at the Hare Krishna. You talk about privity and nivity mark. Privity and nivity. And so this, they kind of join their senses, and this Narada Muni is the renounced order and everything, really fulfilling the purpose of life. But nevertheless, the instruction Daksha is giving in the culture is this is to form austerity for thousands, I don't know how many long years, but just to form austerity in the forest, meditate, pray. I mean, severe austerity for a long time. So, could you explain the necessity for that and for the Hasta ashram? Why is austerity such a part of that ashram also? As you know, as preparation for the Hasta ashram is.
Preparation for the grihastha ashram is the brahmacharya ashram. It's not the only thing that brahmacharya ashram is for, but the best preparation for the grihastha ashram is the brahmacharya ashram, because brahmacharya ashram trains the man control of the mind, control of the senses, and so on, which are necessary for a responsible householder life. The idea is that one should have highly qualified children. So the daksha underwent austerity. That means purification of the mind, purification of one's existence.
What is that in Bhagavad Gita?
Sattva samshuddhi, purification of one's existence, so that from one's own purified existence, purified offspring will come. So for that purpose, he underwent severe tapasya. For those who think that chanting 50 rounds is heavy, Dakshyoga underwent severe tapasya. But the purpose is to purify the purification of one's existence for the grihastha's garbhadhana samskara is there to purify the existence, purify the mentality, so that there'll be good offspring. Grihasthas are meant for austerity also. Everyone is meant for austerity. Those who are serious about spiritual life are meant for austerity. Even those who are serious about material life, austerity is the better policy. Those who just want to pig out on sense gratification, they won't even get good sense gratification. So materially, just like America is in difficult financial difficulty for lack of austerity. Debt means enjoying what you can't pay for. So that's lack of austerity. So many companies go bust for lack of austerity. They spend what they don't. They don't have their basics together. So in business, in family life, austerity is required for success. In studies, in sports, in any material field, austerity is powerful. So the austerity is is wanted, and for the grihasthas especially, those who are householders on the path of spiritual advancement, austerity is required, because their goal is to go back to Godhead and not get swallowed up by the illusions of household life. Generally, the whole world is under the illusions of family happiness. They're working like dogs and suffering like dogs under the illusion that they're going to be happy. Because they have some dream of sense gratification. And they can't control their mind and senses. So, Adam de Goldier, Vishatam, Tanishram, Puna, Punus, Chachar, Chachar, Chum, Chum, again and again. But for those householders who are serious about spiritual advancement, austerity is wanted. And especially austerity means devotional austerity. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya. To accept what's favorable for devotional service and reject what's unfavorable for devotional service. And then it becomes purvastasya, and it becomes a place of spiritual progress, because the service of Krishna becomes more important than the service of the senses. And the senses get their quota, but it's not main business. Those who make satisfying the senses the main business, they're called Krishnamates. And those who make it their main business to satisfy the senses of Krishna, they're called Grihasthas. So to be a Grihastha means to control the senses so that the senses don't take over. To control the mind so that the mind doesn't go ape. To do. Mind are controlled, mind is controlled, senses are controlled, everything's focused on the service of Krishna, then household life becomes progressive. Similarly, brahmacharya life, and then something the mind is controlled, senses are controlled, everything's dedicated to the service of Krishna. And then same road, just with less baggage.
Ha ha ha.